The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Many of you have heard, I assume, of Val Kilmer. Actor, tends to star in action-adventure flicks. He was that competitive pilot in Top Gun, remember that? Iceman. He was in Batman, Batman Returns. He was Billy the Kid in a movie called Billy the Kid. In Tombstone, he played Doc Holliday. These are all movies where things blow up, right? And people get shot and you know, this is Val Kilmer. This is the kind of stuff he does. Well, at the parish I was serving before I came here, one Sunday afternoon, we were taking the youth group out to a movie. And they looked at what was available, and they really didn't like a lot of it, but they saw there was a Val Kilmer movie in the theaters, and they decided, let's go see that. The disappointment was that nothing blew up. No one got shot. But the most violent it was is someone walked through a pane of glass. Nothing. What they got was more than 2 hours, as I remember, maybe 2 hours, 15 minutes, of a love story. There were two girls with us, and they loved it. The boys not so much, except that the leading lady was Mira Sorvino, and they didn't think it was so bad to sit for a couple hours and look at Mira Sorvino. But this movie came to mind this week as I was contemplating the scriptures. It's a movie called At First Sight. Anyone see At First Sight? Long time ago. It's a movie based on a true story about a man who was blind. This is the Val Kilmer character. His name was Virgil. And he was not blind from birth, like the guy in the gospel this morning, but he became blind from a congenitive problem early enough in his life that he had no memory of sight, no memory of visual images. His family, when they realized he needed a place that was kind of safe to be, they moved up to upstate New York and settled in a resort town, small resort town, where he worked at the resort as a masseuse. Very good with his hands, and that's what he did. And everyone knew him and kept him in line, and he knew where to go because he was in the same place and it didn't change much. Well, the Mira Sorvino character shows up on vacation. Her name was Amy. Amy was an architect from Manhattan, just up for a getaway weekend. And, as you may guess, they fell in love. And she started doing some research into this particular form of blindness that Virgil was suffering from. And she discovered that there was a doctor who was doing surgery to cure this particular form of blindness. And she convinced Virgil, after some effort, that he should give this surgery a try. He was reluctant. He had things in place. He knew what to do. Wasn't sure what the results of the surgery would be. But he was in love with Amy. She described to him the beauty of colors and trees and vistas and sunsets. And he decided to go for the surgery. The surgery was a success. Not immediately, but when they took the bandages off, he saw light, and slowly but surely, he began to see. This is where I found the tie-in with this morning's gospel. Jesus comes, puts the mud on his eyes, he goes from blindness to sight. It's a beautiful thing. We all think this is great because we see and everyone else should be able to see. It's wonderful. But things get a little harder when you learn to see. Virgil begins to have a very difficult time. His mind cannot process these visual images that are coming in. He doesn't know what things are. The doctor holds up an apple. He has no idea what it is until he shuts his eyes and puts his hand on it. And then he knows. Depth perception is difficult to learn. He, of course, is the one who walks through the glass door. He doesn't get it. He hasn't seen glass. He goes to a party with Amy one night, and they start listening to that great Village People song where you gotta do the motions. YMCA, right? He doesn't know letters. He doesn't know letters, and he feels humiliated. He's set aside. He removes himself because he struggles being in this visual world, this world of sighted people. He knew blindness. He was comfortable with his blindness. Well, this man who Jesus healed had maybe not similar problems, but problems of his own. He began to be interrogated. The people around him said, "What's going on? How did this happen? Is this even the guy?" And some said yes, and some said no, it's someone like him, but it's not the one who used to beg at the gate. He gets taken in front of the Pharisees to be interrogated by the religious elite. What happened? Who did this? And he keeps saying over again, you heard him. He says, "Well, this guy came along, he put mud on my eyes, he told me to wash, I went and washed, I got cured, and here I am." And he ends up being interrogated again, and he says, "Look, I told you. The guy healed me. What do you want?" His parents kind of sell him short, don't they? These religious elites go and say, "Is this your son, the man born blind? Was he born blind? And how did he get better?" And they say, "Well, yeah, this is our son. Well, sure, it's him. We know he was born blind. How did he get better? I don't know." The problem was that they knew if they were to say that Jesus did it, they might be accused of saying Jesus was the Messiah, and they would be put out of the synagogue, which would be put out of the community. He's of age, ask him. He knows, don't ask me, I don't want to get in trouble. He gets set aside by his parents. Things get tough for him. Things get tough. But there's a curious thing that happens. He progresses. The beauty of this story is not really the fact that he regained his physical sight, as beautiful as that is. Jesus gave him spiritual healing. He restored his spiritual sight. And if you watch the progression, when he first gets asked who did this, he says, "The man Jesus." Later he gets asked who did it, and he said, "A prophet." And by the end of this story, he's talking to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, I believe." This is restoration of sight, but it's not the visual that gets him. It's the spiritual. Jesus opens up his eyes to the spiritual reality of the Messiah and the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he believes. Now, Virgil's eyesight eventually began to falter and went away. The cure was not permanent. And he was comfortable with that. He went back to the life he knew. His sister had asked him beforehand, "When you have things that are comfortable and you know what it is, why do you do something when you don't know the consequences?" This is the challenge Jesus places on us. And in many respects, we know the consequences of opening up our eyes to the spiritual reality of God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes demands. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, remember, taking up your cross doesn't mean carry the cross you were given. It means take up your cross. This is proactive. Take it up and follow me. He tells one person who wants to follow, sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and then you can follow me. And he walks away because he was rich. Jesus tells us to put others first. He tells us to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned, welcome the stranger. He tells us that if you are going to follow me, you need to put God before all else. Jesus is demanding, and opening your eyes to the spiritual reality will change your life in ways that you may or may not be ready for. Now, all of us have a sense of spiritual blindness. For all of us, that looks perhaps different. But the healing that Jesus brings is permanent. It is forever. You can choose to close your eyes. But when you open them, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord is there. The Messiah reaching out. And the promise is that we always will know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.